Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our subject today of reality. Thank you so much for joining us. We are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will start with our morning prayer.
Today I'm reading from Pulpit and Press, page 2 to 3. Sermon by Mary Baker Eddy. How can we do this Christianly scientific work? By entrenching ourselves in the knowledge that our true temple is no human fabrication, but the superstructure of truth, reared on the foundation of love and pinnacled in life. Such being its nature, how can our godly temple possibly be demolished or even disturbed? Can eternity end? Can life die? Can truth be uncertain? Can love be less than boundless? Referring to this temple, our master said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He also said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. If you maintain this position, who or what can cause you to sin or suffer? Our surety is in our confidence that we are indeed dwellers in truth and love, man's eternal mansion. Mary Baker Eddy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, our watching point, Karen.
Watch number 233. Watch lest you believe divine love to be unkind when it gently tugs at your pearl of great price. Love is only helping you to ascertain if your setting is secure enough so that it will endure the storms and the pearl will not become loose and be lost. How important to discover that it is in danger of being lost before this happens. How grateful you should be for whatever enables you to discover this fact. Since if you find the pearl loose in its setting, you can tighten it.
Thank you. All right, comments about it.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot this week, what this means. And in the lesson, when it says the grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven in man, or what constitutes the nature of the kingdom of man, kingdom of God, then any circumstance that comes up in our experience that tells us that we're fearful or anxious or doubting, guilt, despondency, all these can't be found in the kingdom of heaven. And so when we find that out or feel that or understand that, then we can't have these feelings are just no part of our consciousness, our thinking. And when we deal with it there, then the picture, the out picture that seems to picture us, just disappears in that understanding. And that's what tightens our, that tightening of our pearl, then results in whatever healing needs to take place or appears to be healed on the outside, but it's really in our own thinking.
Thank you.
Well, I've learned to be grateful for the experiences that I have that make me prove that God good is all and that evil is nothing, because the louder error talks, the more it is demanding to be resolved. And so, hey, sometimes you go through tough experiences, but hey, it didn't come if you weren't able to meet it. and we have so much to meet it with. So I'm grateful for the experiences that toughen us up and make us stronger in our work for God.
Thank you.
Yeah, same here. I feel like the more that you grow in your understanding, the more any kind of moral characteristics or fear in your thinking or worry or any of those, apathy is one that has really stood out to me lately. You know, that you could walk down the street and not notice other people. It's just like, I can't believe I ever did that, but I certainly did on a daily basis. And I just feel like these things become just very obnoxious and stand out to you very much. And I'm just very grateful for that.
Good. Yeah.
Well, the watching point, especially that first sentence, just reminded me of Peter, you know, when he went through denying the Christ. I'm sure that, you know, that must have been a very awful thing for him to go through. And you could tell that he kind of went to a place where he felt he was no longer a disciple, because later Jesus called the disciples and Peter, just to remind them that he still was one. But I know there's been times with me where, you know, there's been things here where it feels like it's getting tugged away, but the choice was up to me whether to hold it close or let it go. And that's important.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Florence?
Yeah, I feel that all the troubles we have is to help us to be so grounded in the truth that the storms may come, or like that hymn says, 148, the storm may roar without me. In other words, you know now that you're so grounded in the truth, God's love and power, that nothing shakes you. So, but how do we get there? We get there by doing the things that come, overcoming the lies that come. Every one of them that we overcome, we get stronger and go up higher.
Thank you. That's a good explanation. Anybody else? All right. And that, what Karen said in the beginning, and the lesson that the grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven and man. That's a powerful statement, the grand necessity of existence. So today, I hope we get closer to understanding what the kingdom of heaven and man really means, what constitutes it. All right. Well, thank you all. And now, Nancy, we'll go to you and your contribution.
Sure. The kingdom of God is within us. I found in miscellaneous writings, Mrs. Eddy says, what is the kingdom of heaven? The abode of spirit, the realm of the real. No matter is there, no night is there, nothing that maketh or worketh a lie. Is this kingdom afar off? No, it is ever present here. The kingdom of heaven is the reign of divine science. It is a mental state. Jesus said, it is within you, and taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. And from an article called Heaven, the Kingdom of God, by William Harrison, from a 1923 journal. In this kingdom of God, there is no sickness, sin, or death. No matter, neither are there any material laws, conditions, or beliefs. Its walls are the infinite bounds of spiritual beauty and goodness. Its gates, the portals of purified consciousness. Its streets, the pure gold of spiritual living, with all the dross of materialism destroyed. We approach its portals as we put off the old man and put on the new, as we cease to believe in things material and learn to know things spiritual. Death brings us no nearer heaven, because the belief in death must be overcome before heaven is readied. We can never see heaven through material eyes or understand it through a material brain. We can, however, bring it into our experience in proportion as we grow in the understanding and practice of truth. As we do this, we find that the kingdom of heaven, the harmony of being, is actually within us here and now in the degree that we comprehend it.
Thank you. It's pretty exciting when you think about it. All good, right, lying right within us. It's awesome. And to stay in touch with that, to know this is true, to be thinking about it, to develop your spiritual sense so you see it more in yourself and in others. It's the answer to everything. Okay, Chardell.
The kingdom of heaven is within you, Christ Jesus. And then I found this in the 500 watching points. It's the watch 159. Watch lest you believe that your work is to gain a perfect sense of yourself in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, rather than to perfect your sense of yourself as God's child in order that you may perfect your idea of all mankind, which reveals the kingdom of heaven here and now. We are not preparing to go to heaven. Heaven is within, and it will appear without in proportion as we realize this grand verity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Chardell. What was that watching point number, please?
It is 159.
Thank you.
Sure.
There's a lot said about this, and I gathered together things that I work with, and actually I work with them daily, really, because this is such a profound thought, and it's so important to think about it. And evidently, Gilbert Carpenter had a lot to say about it, because here's another watching point, and it's number 258. And he says, watch lest you lose sight of the fact that you are now in the kingdom of heaven, and that the only reason you do not perceive it is because your spiritual senses, which alone can testify to this fact, have become atrophied.
Atrophied.
Or been covered up by falsity. And the only way to develop or resurrect these senses is through use. We rarely seek to use spiritual sense unless we are confronted with a problem or question that defies solution by the human mind or human methods. Hence, we should seek such problems and rejoice when we are confronted by them. They are to be found in the Bible, in Mrs. Eddy's writings, in her life, as well as in our own lives. So, this goes back to the first watching point. We have these experiences so we can prove that the kingdom of heaven is within us. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose, to get us closer to God, to know that it's working within us and all good is there. But don't ever lose fact of the sight that now you are in the kingdom of heaven. Right now, you are there. Make sure you're realizing it. Bruce?
Well, that's a beautiful thing, because it's also an antidote for discouragement, because if you have these experiences and you think, oh, no, and in comes the negative thinking, no, it's the opportunity to rise to the occasion. And you have so much to rise with. All of these statements that are true in science and health, the inspired word of the Bible, we have so much good stuff to work with. And we can prove, yes, the kingdom of heaven really is within.
Thank you.
And how important it is to get your spiritual sense going, I guess. You know, I know when I came here, I'd never heard of it before. And it took a bit getting going. But, you know, it works in all things. It works in, you know, I used to use it even just knowing what way to drive. And, you know, really all things. Spiritual sense can work with you.
Thank you. No, and I think that's really the key, because if you learn to trust your spiritual sense 24 hours a day, it opens up a whole new way of life, really, because, you know, when problems come to you, you know, you are directed by God to be able to deal with them and grow from them. If you are not following your spiritual sense, you know, you're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And when problems come to you, they're going to be discouraging. So it makes all the difference, because your attitude will make all the difference as to how you respond to the circumstances that you're in. And if you are led by God, your attitude will be very positive, and it will make all the difference on how you respond to a difficult situation.
And if you came here anywhere like I did, you already had a firm sense that your material senses didn't lead you anywhere good. So it's time for something new.
Thank you.
I think what Mrs. Eddy said in this prayer that I just did is very reassuring. She said, know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. I love that very much, because it's very empowering, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And that is one Mrs. Evans would give us often. It is one you should know. You know, these things you should know by heart, really, and you should certainly have them marked in your books. Now, that's pulpit and press. So yeah, make sure you have a beloved prose works that you have marked, because that is a powerful statement to know and to work with. Absolutely. All right. Now, this next that I work with often is God is Individual Consciousness by Bicknell Young. And he says, there is only one claim that we are ever called upon to face, and that is the mesmeric suggestion of a selfhood apart from God. That kind of puts it in its place. Whatever you're called to face, you're believing you have a selfhood apart from God, and it is a mesmeric suggestion. And then we must continue forward, and by going forward, I mean this. Right now, you are as much in the kingdom of heaven as you will ever be. Nothing can be added to you, and nothing can be taken away from you. Then it would seem that all that is necessary toward the realization of this is a willingness to relax and acknowledge, Father, all that thou art, I am. Nothing to accomplish, nothing to get, nothing to be. All that thou art, I am, and rest in this truth. Rest in the spiritual awareness of I amness. This is not too difficult. It is not difficult at all. It only seems so at the beginning, but gradually we take this attitude toward life. As we assume this identity, it becomes the only reality of our being. It's so beautifully explained here. Right now, you're as much in the kingdom of heaven as you ever will be. And he's telling, you know, just relax, calm down, acknowledge this, and know it's true. All that thou art, I am.
I think this is why Mrs. Eddy says, we don't understand what reflection means. Because if we are a reflection of God, which he says in Science and Health, then all we can be is what God is.
Yes. And, you know, if we're all wound up, we can't be it. It's just like we've talked about the reflection on a lake. It's got to be calm and tranquil in order to reflect. So, yeah. And last week we talked about being silent and still, quiet, study to be quiet.
And the fact is, we all have this spiritual sense. We all have this unity with God, or connection with God, which cannot ever be severed. The question is, what do we do about it? Do we acknowledge it? Do we trust it? Do we follow it? I mean, that's what obedience is. Mm-hmm. When I'm disobedient, I get into trouble. When I'm obedient, I experience the kingdom of heaven right here and now. That's the difference.
And you know, you have things to do every day to practice this. All day long, you're practicing your spiritual sense. You're either using it or relying on, you know, material information. Are you asking God? Mr. Evans used to say, you know, don't go in the kitchen and make lunch without asking God about it, what to do, what to have. Stay in constant relationship with him. He's always there. He's always speaking to us. Now this, I'm quoting from, I've mentioned her before, Anita Mergerian, I think is her name. She's the one who wrote the book, Dying to Be Me, the woman who passed on from cancer and then met her father, and father told her to go back and finish her life's work, which she did. And she proved that there was certainly there was no death, also that there was no cancer. That what had bound her was her fear, her fearful thinking, her beliefs. And the doctors, you know, couldn't get over the fact that there was no sign that she'd ever had cancer. There's nothing. Nothing. And yet before she passed on, there was all this so-called evidence. So she writes, I believe we are all connected to a source of strength, but we don't realize it. We always have access to it and are never separate from it. But we are taught to believe that we are separate and that God is separate from us. And we have to work at being more spiritual by following certain dogma or doctrines or to access this force. And then when I was in the other realm, that means when she had passed on, and I realized that the force that tops us up with energy is always there. It was always with me, and it's constantly flowing into me. But I had denied it. I had forgotten it because I was conditioned to ignore it and instead to focus on the outside world, our three-dimensional physical world. We get conditioned to focus outside ourselves for all our answers and give our power to external teachers, leaders, religions, and so on. True spirituality is within us and will never leave us. It's always available for us to tap into. When people ask me how to access it, I invite them to stop seeking, stop searching for answers, stop researching, stop obsessing, just stop. When the external noise stops, we will be able to hear the internal signals and messages. It happens when we are about to fall asleep or when we are walking in nature or just sitting and daydreaming. But if we fill every moment of every day with noise, playing with our mobile devices, searching for answers to every question, even the most profound ones on the internet, there's no room for us to recognize the connection to our own source of strength, which is always within us. So there again.
And this is a woman who was never went to Christian Science Sunday School.
Yeah, she found this out from her experiences, and as we all do, and Florence often talks about, you know, people in other countries, maybe they don't even have a Bible, but they still come to these conclusions because the kingdom of heaven is within you. Yeah. Some of them are even more receptive than others that do all this reading and research. So I believe that studying and all of that is important, and I certainly believe that Mrs. Eddy was the revelator, and it's well worth our time to study her works. But I also know the importance of stillness and quietness and listening to the inner voice.
And then put into practice what you've been studying. There's a whole world out there hungering and thirsting.
Because we can be, we really can be disobedient to the spiritual sense that God's creation is perfect now, whilst just so busy reading everything. I did it, I know.
I know.
You know, instead of just being quiet and listening and, you know, obeying what what has been said already, I was just reading, reading, reading. I'm going to find something that I never found.
Right.
Yeah. Sure gain a lot of time when you're done with that, though. Mm-hmm. Time to read good things that we have here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a endless pursuit, and it's not peaceful, and it's not acknowledging the kingdom of God within you. You know, I'll have people ask me, oh, well, what do you have to give me today? What do you have to give me today? Well, have you used what I gave you yesterday or a week ago? Mm-hmm. Have you even used any of this at all? Just wanting more and more and more. That's not the answer. Take one statement of truth and use it. Apply it. It's all that's needed.
So have you even thought about God loves me? I mean, I'm so surprised how far away I was from that. God loves me. I mean, did I?
Thank you.
Soak that up.
I was going to comment more about stillness and quietness and how important it is. And the quality of that is a listening quality. How quick are people to open their mouth and say something? Well, it does no good if nobody's listening. Well, God is telling us all the time things, and our position is to listen to him. You know, we have this golden text that talks about the Zion and Jerusalem. And in Science and Health, we have the definition of New Jerusalem. And one thing that's in that definition is the word harmony appears twice. So this sense of divine harmony is so important, but it comes from listening to the source, which just shows the stillness and quietness. It's very important.
Thank you, yes. That was the virtue medicine of last week. Silence. And what is Mrs. Eddy's silence for the space of a half hour?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I hope during this past week you've incorporated silence into your life, more quietness, listening. Because sometimes when we're quiet, our mind is still racing. If you're not, yes, you've got to calm it down and really be quiet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Study to be quiet, as Mrs. Eddy says. Okay, now this is from Things to Handle Daily, from Watches, Prayers, and Arguments by Mrs. Eddy. Realize for yourself each day and all day, clear and strong, that the Christ truth does not merely open the windows of heaven for us or promise us heaven, but the knowledge of the Christ in Christian Science is heaven, here and now. This knowledge of truth, as it is taught in science, is heaven's open door for all. So this is the reason to do the studying and to understand the science, because when you understand it, it actually is heaven. It is. This is it. It's it. So, and the more we understand God and love God, the more apparent it will become to us, and you will actually have heaven on earth. I hope some of you have experienced that. I know I do sometimes. I feel like I'm in heaven.
Yes.
And the storm may be roaring about you while you are in heaven, But that's just another trick of the devil to try to mesmerize you to think you're not in heaven, or to think that you do have a experience or a life separate from God. No.
I remember that woman who,
Go ahead.
No, it made me think of that woman who went with her daughter to see Mrs. Eddy. And after speaking with Mrs. Eddy, like, it's like everything looked different to her, everything down to the grass beneath her feet. It's like she was getting that glimpse of the kingdom of heaven because it just, it all shone differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I know. I love that story and that. Yep. Everything she beheld the world with love and tenderness like she never had before. So, yeah.
Yeah. She realized that she hadn't ever really loved properly, had she?
Yeah. Yep.
But now she's learning.
So, and then the last, and this is from Dorothy Rickey, Immortality Brought to Light. I think Karen has it on audio on our website. But she writes, thus let our first waking thought in the morning and the last at night be one of affirmation and rejoicing that we are immortal. 100 times a day, let us tune in to the infinite and thank our Heavenly Father that we are His immortal children. And then rejoice that you are not a mortal housewife washing windows, polishing floors. How wonderful that you are the immortal daughter of the King, living in God's house, serving with gladness and reflecting all His qualities to the fullness. It goes on, rejoice you're not a mortal newspaper man or whatever, but rejoicing, again, in a way you're living in the Father's house. You're in the kingdom of heaven now, and we should act like it and be it. And I maintain if you do that consistently, you will, if you think you're not in your right place, whether that's a home or a job or whatever, you will find your right home or your right job by knowing right now, right this moment, you are an immortal being living in the Father's house, working for the Father. All of those things, claim it is happening now, because it is actually is the truth. It's the truth with a capital T.
Yeah, that's how you get fitted for that right place.
Yes.
Well, and your spiritual sense will never lead you into a wrong place.
Well, that's
that
right.
Thought of now, recently, the word in that stood out to me just recently, now is the accepted time, is the accepted. Now is the time to accept the truth. And that word just recently has been standing out to me because, you know, we think, like we've been, like has been said, you're trying to read and pray to understand, and that's fine, but we really just need to accept that what is. That God is, that I am, we have to accept it. And that word now is the accepted time. That word stood out to me in that statement. So
thank you. It's very important. And, you know, the word trying, you should eliminate from your conversation. Trying, you're always trying. We're going to try. And we never achieve anything. There's a, who was it in Star Wars? Zoda?
Oh, Yoda.
Yeah, what did he say? Mm. He said something about that, not to try, but to do.
Yeah, that's basically
it. Don't try and do it.
Yeah, don't try, do it. Do it. And now is the time. Why do we always put it off? You know, maybe tomorrow I'll understand better. Tomorrow I'll do better. Tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now. No, now. So that's a good point. Thank you, Karen. Now is the accepted time, and now you can do it. Why wouldn't you be able to? But you must acknowledge and accept these truths and then employ them. And, you know, sometimes at first you have to do it just by faith. Maybe you don't really believe it. Maybe you haven't had that much success. But when are you going to start? You got to start somewhere. So why not now and get going? And when you find you're doing it, you will find things working out. And then you have to acknowledge, yes, God's been with me, the presence and power. This worked out. That worked out. Yes, yes, yes. And that's how you get traction. And that's how you move forward. So.
It kind of reminds me of the story of the young prince that was stolen by the gypsies and raised that way. And all he needed to do was claim his princehood. And so, and then live like it, of course, but yeah.
Yep.
And the end of what Christ Jesus read from Isaiah was to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So acceptableness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now the next virtue medicine, last week was silence. This week it is resilience. And again, God's preparations of the sick are potions of his own qualities. These qualities, when we express them more and more in our lives, bring healing to us. That unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, love, the kingdom of heaven reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. Now, the one on resilience was rather interesting because it brings out in the article that it's not what happens to you, but as Gary was talking about earlier, because we've been talking about it, it's your attitude toward it. If you think you're a victim and, oh, my God, how did this happen? And, dear Lord, what a mess my life is. Well, there's no resilience in that, is there? And if you notice, people who have a positive attitude, even if you want to just that much, more of a positive attitude, that they will rise up, that things will be better. They are thinking in terms of God with us. That's what happens. And they will, and they do. It spoke about the Navy SEALs and how they have Hell Week. And, you know, they don't sleep, they don't do this, they don't do that. And almost 80% of them don't make it. But it said that a lot of it had to do with their resilience and how they thought about it. And it says that resilience may begin in the mind, but its consequences are reflected in the body at multiple levels. So, because your body, if you're talking negatively to yourself, your body's going to feel pretty ugh. Now, first it comes as thoughts, and then it seems to come as a physical ailment unless you stop it with the thinking. So it says, the capacity is already within us. The question is whether we cultivate it before crisis strikes. So during your day when, you know, little things go wrong, do you just fall apart and think the world's coming to the end? Or are you going to pray about it and think positively about it? And if you do, you'll build up a resilience. So it says it isn't a question of whether the challenges will come. It's what you're doing today that's making tomorrow better. And if your thought is all negative, 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 then when a real crisis comes, you will fall apart. So someday when the weight of the world is pressing down on you, your recovery won't depend on how strong you are at that moment. It will depend on your preparation, how quickly you can find your way back, and how you decide to grow from the difficulty. In the space between tragedy and comeback, failure and success, resilience is up for grabs. So,
Thomas Edison did 10,000 experiments to try to figure out how a light bulb could possibly work. He failed 10,000 times. But the 10,001th time actually worked. If he didn't have resilience, he would have given up after about 1,000 or 500. Or three.
Well, and that. We'd be sitting in the dark today.
Yeah, we would, right?
The Winston Churchill quote, that success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm.
There you are. Mm-hmm. There you are. And, you know, I mean, we all make mistakes or stumble and fall, but it's what we do about it. It is what we do about it. And it's not Poppy, what's it called? Pollyanna. Yeah. Pollyanna. Everything's wonderful. In the meantime, you don't even really believe it. You're just saying it. You don't really believe it. It's much deeper than that. You've got to really know it. And that's where the understanding comes in. And that's where the prayerful work does come in. So very important.
That's reality. When you recognize reality, even though you don't quite see it all, then you bring it forward.
Thank you very much. Reality, mm-hmm. The topic. Most.
And Mrs. Eddy does say that human invention must have its time. But things don't get invented without a lot of resilience and persistence. Because inventors fail often until they find the right solution.
So all of these qualities we've talked about are qualities to develop and cherish, because they're God-given, God-like qualities. So view the world with great joy and love and laughter and be positive about it, not so negative.
And that's why our spiritual sense is essential, isn't it? Because if we're sent by God to do something or to whatever, and there are obstacles or roadblocks or so-called failures along the way, if we're sent by God, we're going to feel it. We're going to pick up and keep going because God is directing us. But if we're trying to will our way through life, slug our way through life, with wrong motives, keeping up with the Joneses, yeah. You know, keeping up appearances,
yeah.
Or trying to achieve certain things that other people admire. As soon as we find obstacles or failures or stuff, we're not going to have the energy to keep going because God isn't there. It all depends on whether God is there in your consciousness and in your attitude or not.
General Grant comes to my thought with all that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Yeah, everyone who's achieved something that is really good and great for mankind has done it because they were led by God.
Mm-hmm. And they had a good motive, something good they were fighting for, working for.
Right.
And they could not be defeated. And yes, resilience.
Yeah, sometimes you have to fight it out on this line, even if it takes all summer.
Yes, and Mrs. Eddy quotes that in Science and Health, which is General Grant.
Which is why we will always have great admiration for Mary Baker Eddy, for the early workers that followed in her footsteps, and in our own case, Mrs. Evans, who was persecuted by a so-called organization in Boston who tried to bankrupt her and tried to bankrupt the church. But there was a small group here that was led by God and survived and persevered and then prospered.
What did you say?
Well, that's why we're told truth persist.
Yes.
Exactly.
Persistence wins the prize. Okay, Jeremy, about Zion and the golden text. We're almost out of time, but
Well, I know. I just was thinking about it a lot this week about Zion and everything that we learn about it here. And Mrs. Eddy defines it as spiritual foundation and superstructure, inspiration, spiritual strength. But she also says emptiness, unfaithfulness, and desolation. So it's just so important for us to view Zion spiritually and not humanly. Because if we view it humanly, we're just going to get the worst of this.
Thank you. And Nisha Ela also wrote to that. She here?
She is here.
Give us your last two paragraphs.
About Zion?
Yes, about Zion.
Okay. Sharon just gave us the interpretation in Science and Health. And I looked up Zion in Wikipedia. And you can find there that the word science is differently interpreted in Judaism, the Islamic tradition, the Latter-day Saints, the Rastafari movement, and the Baha'i faith. Some of which I have never heard about before. Who can claim the correct interpretation? I think no one. Only God can give the spiritual meaning. Mrs. Eddy's spiritual interpretations are from God. They are universal and free from human ideas or philosophy. As long as we cling to human interpretation of things, there will be strife and disagreement because different people see different meanings in the same thing. We will never be able to agree if we don't go to the spiritual meaning of things like Mrs. Eddy did.
That's a really good point. It's so true. We'll all just fight and carry on about this and that and everything else. Unless you get the spiritual interpretation, there'll be no agreement. So, and Mrs. Eddy does. She usually gives a spiritual and then maybe what's considered the human interpretation. But the spiritual will lead us aright and bring us all together in unity and harmony. So thank you. Thank you both for that. And the lesson is so full of the New Jerusalem, how absolutely beautiful. I love to think about it, all the gemstones in the city four square and the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and divine science are the walls. And we won't have time for it today, but on some notes on True Vision, John Morgan speaks to each one of those, the four attitudes, he calls them. And it's worth studying and looking at. True Vision is a tremendous article. It not only applies to your vision, which is hugely important, how you see things, but it applies to a lot of things. So good to think about New Jerusalem and that we dwell there too, City Four Square. So anyway, a lot in this lesson to apply to our daily lives and have reality in our daily lives and not a false sense of things, but the truth. Okay, Gary, we'll end on an article that Carrie sent.
Yes, this is an article written by, it's an editorial in the August 1904 issue of the journal or the, anyway, it's from 1904. And it starts, "The grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven in man." At Science and Health, page 356. "A glance over the world at this time reveals a stormy sea with many threatened shipwrecks. Everywhere, men are so continuously striving for material possessions and power that, as they readily admit, they are unable to find time for the only conquest of any real value, that of self, and the finding of the kingdom within. It is surely self-evident that were it not for those who keep the sacred light of truth burning, the conflicts between nations, classes, and individuals would soon lead to utter darkness and the annihilation of the human race. It is well nigh universally admitted by thinkers that the teachings of Jesus contain the essential truth which would end all strife, were it not for the unwillingness of mankind to be guided by his precepts. More and more does the world acknowledge the beauty of his character and teaching, but almost always with the reservation that under present conditions, the one is as impossible of imitation as is the other of demonstration. The majority wholly overlook the fact that he clearly pointed out the only means by which these conditions may be reversed and good, not evil, seen to be the reality of existence. In the midst of political and religious strife, Jesus announced the absoluteness of God's kingdom and made the statement which will hold good to the latest hour, that it is neither here nor there, but within us. Christian Science teaches that the laws of God's kingdom are eternal in their duration as well as universal in their application. That these laws were known to the Master was proved by his healing of disease and sin and by the raising of the dead. And those who were delivered by him were also taught to look for the kingdom of God and the operation of its laws within. And in spite of all the denials of the applicability of this teaching to present conditions, the law of the spirit of life is found to be a power mighty enough to annul the action and supposed authority of the law of sin and death. No right thinker would deny that all ought to control their feelings and actions. But the multitudes of sick, sinful, and unhappy mortals everywhere to be found is proof that they do not know how to do this. The Bible says that the Christ must put down all rule and all authority and power and deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And this is what Christ's truth is doing for thousands today through the scientific understanding that divine principle controls alike thought and its embodiment, and thus is established the kingdom within where the discords of earth never enter. End quote.
Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.